What Congress thinks about government access to your phone bill?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics in a Minute. The House of Representatives has blocked, barely, a move to cut off the money for part of National Security Agency electronic surveillance. The program sweeps up vast amounts of data on electronic communications, both foreign and domestic. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now live from Washington. So what exactly was the House voting on?
David, it was an amendment to the Defense Appropriations Bill, and this amendment would have cut off funding for that NSA surveillance program we've heard so much about from former NSA analyst Edward Snowden. The House eventually voted down the amendment, but as you said, it was very close, 217 to 205. A coalition of Democrats and Libertarian Republicans backed the amendment. Congressman Ted Poe was one of them. He's a Republican from Texas, and he says the NSA's phone and data collection is too broad.
Government's gone too far in the name of security. Rein in government invasion. No more dragnet operations. Get a specific warrant based on probable cause or stay out of our lives.
But other House members said the NSA surveillance has made the country safer, and they prevailed.
And the significance of this vote?
Well, it shows just how divided Congress is over the NSA surveillance. There was that unusual coalition of Democrats and Tea Party Republicans who voted for the amendment, that is, to cut off funding. The vote also shows the power of the purse strings. Without money from Congress, there would be no NSA surveillance program.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer live from Washington. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now let's do the numbers. There's news this morning. Britain's economy grew more quickly than expected, 0.6% in the second quarter. Yet, the FT 100 stock index in London is down 1% now. Japan's Nikkei fell 1.1%. Index futures in the U.S. are down sharply right now. The Occupational Health and Safety Administration is expected to face a tongue lashing in Washington today. The separate Chemical Safety Board has evidence that OSHA did not adopt safety recommendations that might have prevented a fertilizer plant explosion in West Texas. But as Gigi Duban reports, there are some in that town who don't think this is the Fed's business.
Kirk Wines owns Old Corner Drug in West Texas. He lives near the fertilizer plant that exploded in April.
I was 300 yards away when it blew up.
14 people who were closer died in the blast. The Chemical Safety Board blames lax oversight. In Senate testimony last month, the board's chairman, Rafael Maure Erasso, criticized OSHA for not monitoring the chemical that caused the West Texas tragedy.
OSHA has not focused extensively on ammonium nitrate storage and hadn't inspected West since 1985.
But Wines doesn't think better regulation would have prevented the disaster.
I think this was a freak accident, and it's one of those things that happen.
OSHA told me it wouldn't comment on an ongoing investigation. The Chemical Safety Board didn't return calls ahead of today's meeting, where it's expected to push again for tighter controls of hazardous chemicals. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
There's news from London that a $30 million theme park for kids will open there late next year. It's like Take Your Child to Work Day, only fancy and more expensive. It's part of a worldwide chain with origins in Mexico that Leon Kreutze with Univision's KMEX in Los Angeles has been following. We check in with Leon from time to time. Morning, sir.
Hi, David. How are you?
I hadn't heard about this business. What's it called? Kidzania?
Kidzania. That's it. It's a Mexican company that was founded back in 96 by this guy by the name of Javier Lopez Ancona. He's a businessman who basically figured out, David, that most of all children like to role play. And he had the idea to build a theme park in which children could do just that, experiment with different roles. And he built this place in which kids could work in a perfect replica of a bank, a radio station, a publishing house, a bakery, a sort of Honey, I Shrunk the Company's deal. And it's been incredibly successful, man.
So it's like if your mom or dad worked at the coolest company or occupation in the world, and you could spend a few hours over at their office. You go to this playland, and you get to pretend that you're, an airline pilot or something?
Airline pilot, bank teller, basically you name it. I mean, part of the magic that Lopez Ancona has brought to this business is that he has convinced many very high-profile companies to join him in building these smaller-size replicas inside the Kidzania's theme parks. Honda, HSBC, American Airlines.
I guess when the children are playing, they get funny money, like Monopoly money that they use to transact business?
Yes, they do. They get to earn Kidzania money, and they get to either open a savings account for their next visits, or they could get they get to spend it inside the place.
But Mr. Lopez Ancona, he's put these in Europe. He's put these in a lot of countries, but yeah. I don't think there are any in the United States.
No, they're not. He has repeatedly said that he wanted to learn in other locations before he took on the very challenging American market. But he plans to open the first Kidzania in the United States by 2015. So those are his plans. He's soon opening one in Sao Paulo, Cairo, Moscow. I mean, really all over the place.
Leon Kreutzer with the Univision affiliate KMEX in Los Angeles. Leon, thank you.
Thank you, David. A pleasure as always.
And when it comes to women printed on the British currency, what you tend to see is a person who did it by being born into the right family, that is to say the Queen. Under pressure to diversify, the Bank of England has unveiled a new £10 note with an engraving of Jane Austen, replacing Charles Darwin, by the way. Britain's finance minister took to social media with a pun he had all worked out. The move, he tweeted, showed sense and sensibility. Amateur. You should have said pence and sensibility. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.